Book of Psalms, chapter 142. We do have some announcements. Anybody, Psalms 142, announcement-wise, not very many, but there is a few here. Nursery worker meeting this Sunday night, right tonight after church. Shouldn't take super long. Going to go over a few things. Going to be doing this a lot of our ministries here, just to go over some things. And so it's been a little while since we met with many of the ministries, so we're starting off with everybody's favorite, the nursery. Psalms 142. Let's see here. Other announcements. Men's prayer meeting is, the time schedule has changed to 8:30. So, and I don't think anybody was super early yesterday, had a good group of guys. And then we have church-wide visitation on at 10 o'clock. And let's see here. There is no business meeting. It's some reason it's written in there, but there that was last week. Fall revival, you can mark your calendars for that. And Friend Day, you can mark your calendars for that. That's revival is October 31st to September, November 3rd. And then on October 31st is actually our Friend Day. It's great to have you guys in here. I know this class is a little bit different because we've been doing things out in the auditorium. We're going to try to sway away from the auditorium. Just because of the small number, it's hard to teach inside such a large room, and we do have some extra rooms in the back. Inside this room, you'll see that we're using a microphone. It's not because there's any speakers in here, but if you have, if you use the hearing assist thing, it can be used back here also. So if you have the hearing assist that you use out there in a regular service, with this microphone being on, it is close enough. So if you use that, I know some of you use it out there, and I know this is a smaller room, so it's a little bit easier to hear, but you're still welcome to use that, and you can even go out and get it now. It should all be set up. I see Miss Marsha's there wearing hers, so it's the same type of thing that's there. So what's going to happen in our Sunday school classes, our college and career class started again. Be praying for the Mr. and Mrs. Lyman's teaching it. There's a, I encourage you to pray for that one. That's a tough age group, 18 to 28, and we want to, there's a lot of, there's not a lot of 18, 28-year-olds inside churches like ours, so we want to make sure we reach out to that group. Also, there's a widow ladies class back there for anyone who is a widow. But also, next week, we're going to have a overflow class. I'm going to be teaching a class for couples. Now, it doesn't have to just be couples. You say, well, my wife doesn't come with me or my husband doesn't come with me. You're still welcome to come and be a part of the class. You say, well, I'd like to hear more. Someday maybe I'll get married. That's fine too. So anyone's welcome to be in the classroom, but it is something that's going to be being teaching on about couples. It's something you can learn from, grow from. They're going to be biblical things. So I encourage you to be in here, or there's a widow ladies class, or there's college and career. And for about 4 to 5 weeks, Mr. Gregor is going to be teaching an overflow class. Don't know exactly which room that's going to be in just yet, but we got a lot of talented men that help teach classes from Mr. Bateman and Mr. Todd taught some last couple weeks, Mr. Gregor, Mr. Don's helped us before in the past. So we're going to have during that couple time, Mr. Cartwright's taught us about creation. So we're going to have some different overflows for that. But for it's going to start off with Mr. Rick Gregor next week. And we'll tell you that if you want to go to that classroom, you're welcome to. You're welcome to be in here. You say, how long is it going to take? I have no idea how long sometimes classes take and series takes. We're using some different resources. So because of that, it may take 7 to 8 weeks. It may take 6 months. Who knows? But we'll enjoy the time while we're here. And like I said, even if some of you guys, like Todd's wife is working with it in the Sunday school class, is still welcome to come. I think you'll learn, you grow from it, and you'll enjoy it. But I did want to do this lesson in here this morning and tell you what we're going to. And we're going to do our best to kind of do it in the class, the couples class inside this room. Same thing. So if you have the hearing assist, you can still use it back in a small classroom. You should be able to hear the teachers, all those things that are going on. So I'm going to try to do something today that I've never done before and teaching three times. I'm going to teach about a topic for all three sermons. Now, I've taught about a certain book of the Bible, or I've taught about a certain story in the Bible, but this week for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, is going to be different messages, but it's going to be about a topic that the Lord kind of laid upon my heart today, and that's why we have all you guys together this morning. It's a topic about being overwhelmed. One thing that worries me today, and you say worries, well, See, there's the problem. You're not supposed to worry. But overwhelmed, sometimes we see Christians getting overwhelmed today. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some crazy things going on in this world. And if there was a time to get overwhelmed with circumstances, it would be today. But God tells us that we should not worry. And God tells us that we should put our faith and trust in him. And this morning, we're going to look at a story about David. And he's crying out to God. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And so he's talking about when he was overwhelmed. And we're going to talk about what to do when you're overwhelmed. Or my spirit is overwhelmed with me. I think it's the title you see on the message there. But in the day and time we live in, today's crisis coming back sooner and closer. And are we living in a fearful way or are we living in a faithful way? There's many times people that live in daytime that we come across when problems happen and when circumstances go awry and the world seems like it's closing in, relationships begin to be ruptured and people are treating us unfairly. There's a time when you just feel completely overwhelmed. There's a time when you don't know what to do. Doesn't seem like anyone can help. Doesn't seem like anyone understands. Seems like God's promises are there, but they're not getting answered. And what are you supposed to do? And this, I think today we're going to learn a little bit about that. And I think it's going to be an encouragement and help. You're going to look at Psalms 142 this morning. We're going to look at another passage the morning service in Philippians. And tonight we're going to go to Psalms 143. And 142 talks about being overwhelmed, and 143 talks about being overwhelmed. Two different circumstances. So let's go ahead and read this, and let's jump in here. I think there's some things that are going to help us this morning. And like I said, anybody that walks in the Sunday morning, Sunday school, I think it won't be something that you feel like you missed something. You'll still be able to understand what's being said. If you read in the little imprint there, it says the Miskol of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And then you see that little imprint at the top. Some of you might have it. Some of you might not have it in there. But sometimes this gives a description of what's going on. When we think of David, I don't know. I don't think about him being in a cave. I think about him killing Goliath. I think about him sitting on the throne. I think about him playing that harp. But there were days and times when he was in a cave. He says, so what does that have to do with overwhelmed? Remember, God has already anointed him to be king. And while king, he played his harp. Saul got angry, got with him. He threw the javelin at him, tried to pin him up against the wall. There's been a number of different times when he had to go run for his life. And there's a couple of different times when he's in the cave. I think it's talking about when he was at the cave of Adullam towards the beginning of this, when he had just found out about what's happening. But remember this, he's sitting in a cave when he thinks he should be sitting on a throne. He's sitting on a cave when he thinks he should be on a throne, because that's where God said. God said, hey, someday you're going to be the king of Israel. So David here is thinking, okay, I'm learning from Saul. I'm learning about all the king's ways. When I'm playing the harp, I'm learning all these things. God's training me. Now something changes. Jealousy of Saul comes out there and tries to kill David. So David's on the run, and he's sitting there in a cave. And at this point in time, I think he's alone. He's by himself, or at least he's not had his mighty men yet. They are the ones that come later on, those that are coming. Because you'll see that he says, no man's there. No man's cared for my soul. There's nobody there. So let's look here. I cried unto the Lord, verse number one, with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So we see he cries out to the Lord. Second thing I want you to see here, and you think about what it says, is I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So not only is he just crying out to God, he is actually pouring out himself. He is overwhelmed. This says in verse number three, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Then he says in verse number four, I looked at my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. You ever have somebody pretend like they don't know you? You know, when you have something that people want or they need something from you, they're your best friend. Sometimes when you got a need out there and don't know what to do, and so like you can imagine, David here is going to be the next king. Some people know that. People love David. He's already killed Goliath. He's already has himself raised up in the kingdom. All those things have already happened for him. People are looking at him as possibly the next general, captain, maybe leader, and everybody's his best friend there. But sitting out in the cave, he's like, I looked, and no one even acts like they even know me. And then it continues on. And he says, no man would know me. Refuge failed me. Didn't have any place to go. No man cared for my soul. There was no one that was going to help me. Now, sometimes when you get overwhelmed, you begin to worry. As you think about things, things grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I know that there's times in our lives where we feel like nobody cares. And don't get me wrong, we're filled with a church full of people that care. I have on my contact list, there's a number of people. If I needed something, if I had a need, many of you would say, hey, call anytime, day or night. We'll help you any way we can. And it's not just because I'm a pastor, it's because you're my friends. But David's saying here, and sometimes we feel like that way, and hopefully I'm sure there are people who care for you because I know I care for you. I know I pray for you. But at the same time, David's saying, it seems like no one even cares about me. They're all, and then it keeps on going. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He turns to God and he says, God, you're not going to forsake me. You're the one I can always trust in. When it doesn't seem like anyone else cares or anyone else can help, you're the one I can turn to. And he says, my portion in the land of the living. He says, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's have a word of prayer to ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me today. Lord, I know you laid this upon my heart for a reason and a purpose. And I know it is very easy to get to a spot where we're overwhelmed and we need to know what to do with those things. Lord, sometimes it's because people are sick. Sometimes because circumstances seem like they've gone crazy. Sometimes it seems like it's what's happening in our country or happening with our friends or happening with our family. And God, help us to learn as David learned, sitting alone in this cave, that you're there for him. And that you are enough, that you're more than enough for us, and that we can turn to you, we can cry to you, we can pour out our souls to you. And Lord, even though we seem overwhelmed, we can go to you, the rock, Lord, that can help us in so many ways. Lord, help us this morning as we look at this. In Jesus' name, amen. Some things I want you to think about from this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to think about is who to go to when you're overwhelmed. Who to go to when you're overwhelmed. One preacher put it this way, God has a complaint department. And he says, complaining sometimes seems like it's a bad thing. And yes, I can understand the idea of complaining and whining and things like that, but God wants us to cast our cares upon him. God has told us to cast our cares upon him. And he gives us an example here of David, a man who loves God, a man after God's own heart, a man who is going to be that great king of Judah, that man that's going to be used in so many miraculous ways. He's overwhelmed too. We're in good company when we're overwhelmed, but what do we do with it? So who do you go to? Now, there is one preacher who put it this way. He says, only talk to the person who can do something about it. So when you have a problem, when you have a need, when you have a complaint, go to the person that can do something about it. That's not the way we like to work, is it? The way we like to work is we like to have people feel sorry for us and we go talk to this person and we go talk to that person and we go talk to this person and we go talk to that person, but we never go to the person that can actually do something about it. And that's what David here, when we're thinking about it, David is going to God who has the opportunity to do something about it. We see here that he has, I like how it says in verse number 2, he says, I poured out my complaint before him. He emptied himself. He laid it all out there. And I think God knows our hearts anyway. He knows them afar off. In Psalms 139, I've been reading through the Psalms in my daily devotions. And in Psalms 139, it talks about he knows our thoughts afar off. You're not going to fool God. You're not going to trick God. You're not going to say, God, here's my problem, my need, and then go gossip it with somebody else or talk to somebody else. And once again, friends are people you can confide in. I understand that. And they become prayers people, can set aside your prayers and all those other things. I understand the dependence upon other people. But the people that we should really truly communicate with, there's people who we should lay our burdens out before the Lord. He says he pours himself out before God. He empties himself of all the things that overwhelmed him. He says, I showed you my trouble. So that is who we should go and talk to, is God. Why should we talk to God? So the first point is who we should give our complaint to. He said, well, I should never ever complain. You know, there's a difference. I was out to eat this past Thursday or Friday. It was Friday. And go to a restaurant. I like it. Some of you guys might not. I like Plaza Azteca. I think it's the best Mexican restaurant in town. Other people say Three Amigos. Yeah, you guys, that's great. But I'm there, and the lady forgot to bring something that went along with my meal. And it was a couple things that went along with it. When the lady came up, I asked her nicely to get the things, and she came back and she brought one of the things or two of the things, but she still was missing something. I says, hey, can you get this also? Because it went along with it. And I told the lady that it was sitting there. Me and my wife were there. I wasn't out with another lady. Don't worry. I shouldn't be teaching the couples class next week. Maybe I should be listening. But we were there, and we had taken out a lady, and we were visiting with her. And I said to him, I hate to seem like I'm complaining. And she says, you're not complaining. You're just asking for something that you were supposed to get anyway. I said, I just want you to think, because I know when you complain at restaurants, sometimes you never know what they're going to do to your food in the back. You say, oh, that's just stories. No, when I used to manage the restaurants, you know, we had to fix it a couple of times when the people got mad and angry and they didn't want to do something. We got rid of those people that had the wrong attitude. We weren't going to put up with that, but sometimes people do things that are, but whatever, that's a whole different lesson. But you know, there's nothing wrong. Like, for instance, if someone had done some work for you and they didn't do what they were that you anticipated, there's nothing wrong with going to them and saying, hey, there's a need here. That can you fix this? This was part of our agreement. You're going to them with, yes, it's a complaint, but you're telling them about a concern because you need to get it fixed. And that's what you should do. You should go to that person. That's who you should go talk to so they can fix it. Now, if they don't fix it, you go talk to their boss. If they don't fix it, then if you have to do other things, I understand all that. But the important thing is when you're thinking about when you're overwhelmed, many times we throw ourselves a pity party, or many times we become recluse and we don't want any type of help. And God's saying, David's saying, and I think this is why God preserved in his word, that this man that was after God's own heart's overwhelmed in his spirit, and he's saying, we need nowhere to go to. We need to go to the Lord. We need to be careful about going to others, and we go to the Lord with our needs. Why do we go to the Lord? It's because he's the one that can take care of it. I really love the verse that's found in verse number 5. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And he says, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And he says, attend unto my cry, for I brought thee very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may... Why is David going to him? Is because he is the one that is able to take care of these things. He is the one that is able to help those things. He's the one that can figure out what needs to be done. He's the one that can actually make a difference. Tell somebody who can make a difference. If you want to take your Bible to Psalms 147, this morning as I was reading through this, in verse number 11, I came across, this is my verse for today. I try to, when I'm doing my readings, I try to pick out one verse, and the Lord brought it this morning. It says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. So when you take it to someone who can do something, why are you taking it to someone who can do something? It's because you hope they will do something about it. You want to say that there's something that they can do, and that's what he's saying here. He takes pleasure in those that fight hope in the Lord. He says, in those that hope in his mercy. And it's the idea that I find hope that God can take care of this situation, that God can help me, and that's why I'm taking it to him, because he can do all things. Not everybody else can do all things. And David's sitting there, and he's in a cave, and whether he's by himself or he's a few people or he's there by himself, I don't think there's a large group. I think he may even be there. At least he feels alone. And he's looking around, and he's saying, hey, you're the one that told me I was going to be the next king. You're the one that has told me that I was going to be lifted up. I don't know why all these things are happening. He brings it to him because why? Because God's the one that can make him king. Right now, he's not able to make himself king, and that's not the way it's supposed to happen anyway. So we got to remember why we go to God. It's because he can do all things. I think about some of the different people that poured their hearts out to God in the Bible. Anybody got an example of somebody who poured their heart out to God besides David? You got to speak up so I can hear everyone. Jeremiah, he cried out to God. Esther, another one who said, hey, look, if I die, I die. And he goes out and she says, not just me pour my heart out to God. Let's have everybody do it for 3 days. Jeremiah was one that was there and he was ready to give up, but there was something inside him that kept on going. I think about even Joshua after the battle of Ai. He's there on his face and he's asking God. He's going to God and saying, God, he's overwhelmed. And I even think about Abraham. I love the story of Abraham. And remember when he has just rescued Lot. And Lot's there. The king of Sodom's there. They all need to go back to their lives of sin. Abram at that time doesn't even have the child that's been promised. And he goes and he looks to God. And he prays to God. You know what God says? He says, I am thy great exceeding reward. He looks at Abraham. He says, I am really, truly all that you need. And that's why I think if we remember is that God is someone who is able to take care of the problem. He's able to fix it, unlike anyone else. And so why do we go to him? And then you think about Abraham Lincoln once said, he was driven to his knees many times because he had nowhere else to go. No one else can fix the problem like God can. Sometimes God is the only one that can fix the problem. And then you see here another reason why you go to God is because you know he's going to care. If you go to back to verse number 4, he goes and he says to him, he says, no man cared for my soul. Earlier in the thing, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. He said, sometimes there's nowhere else to turn. This is Psalms 142, verse number 4. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. So when you're overwhelmed and you feel like no one else is there, that's why we go to God, because he's the one that can be everything we need. He's the one that can be, where it says in verse number 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He's saying that, hey, Lord, you're the only one I'm able to count on. You're the one where I can hide myself underneath your wings. You're the one that I can learn from. And he says that you're my portion. It's because God is more than enough than what we need. He really can be everything that we need. And like Abraham, as he was walking away, he was watching Lot walk away with his children. He was watching the king of Sodom walk away with all the wealth that was offered Abram, but he knew he wasn't supposed to do it. And he's probably a little bit concerned. He's probably a little bit wondering, God, what in the world? I don't even have an heir. And he talks about whoever the person that was the leader of his fortune. And God says, no, that's not it. And he told me, he says, look, I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm the one that you should focus on. I'm the one that you realize, no matter if you have nobody else, and if everybody else has turned their back on you, if everybody else says, hey, I don't care about you, if everybody else says, hey, I don't even know you or don't pretend to even know you, they go and they act like they've never seen you before or met you before. He says, I'm always here. I am your great exceeding reward. You cannot get anything better or greater than me. And he's talking, and that's what God says to Abraham. And he is more than enough. So who do you take it to? Why do you take it there? Look at what God does. Look what it says in verse number 6. David's saying, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. I guess another thing you see in there, the reason why we take it to God is because, because the people we're fighting against are stronger than us. What do you mean? We fight against the world, the flesh, the devil. We fight against Satan. And we need to not be in fear of them, but respect. We need to understand that they are a stronger enemy. And that's what he's saying here. My enemies, for they are stronger than I am. And it seems like sometimes if you feel like you're alone, and you feel like people are hurting you, and you feel like it's everybody else is against you, and you make up all these different reasons. Hey, this person's against me, and this person's against me, and this person's against me. That's why we turn to God, because we need his strength. We need his battle. We need him to help us not to be overwhelmed. We need him to help us to not be worrying. We need to help us to overcome. And look what God does in verse number 7. He says, bring my soul out of prison. And he doesn't even say, hey, take me out of this cave. He's talking about personally being overwhelmed, not seeing God, and he's saying, look, bring my soul out of prison. He says, I don't want to be overwhelmed. I don't want to feel like I'm the one that has to carry this burden. I want my hope to be found in God. I'm going to live a life that shows I hope and I know that God can do all things. I'm bringing it to him because he's the one that can do something. The reason why I bring it to him is because he is more than enough. And now I'm asking you, Lord, please bring my soul out of prison. I don't want to be a person that is overwhelmed. I don't want to be a person that seems like I've been beaten down. I don't want to be a person. I want to be a person who's joyful. I want to be a person, as it says, that I may praise thy name. Because I want you to take me from this spot here, sitting in this cave alone. And I want to come to a spot where I'm praising you. I want to go from being overwhelmed to a spot to saying, I know how good you are and how great you are, God. And we're going to look at a little bit at that tonight, how to make that happen. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And you think about the story here, where he's at. Right now he's in the cave. He has not become king yet. He has not, in my mind, he has not been... I guess he was married to Saul's daughter at this point in time, but he is there, and look what his future is going to be like. He gets to be king. He gets to lead Israel into so many great victories. He gets to see God work in so many miraculous ways. He gets to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He gets to do so many amazing things, but from this cave to the next cave to the spot where he's living with the Philistines, these are tough years for him. But look what God does for him. God has saved him and kept him through all this time. Remember before the cave, there was the days that were the bear. He helped him from the bear. He helped him from the lion. He helped him with Goliath. And he helped him defeat a number of Philistines up to this point in time where he's located at. He saves him from Saul's javelin throwing. And, you know, he saves him from all these times. And now David's is there. And he says, compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If it is the cave of Adullam, I don't know if I'm saying that right, at this point in time is when those people come and start joining up with David. God does bring people in our lives sometimes. And as he's bringing people in our lives, these are people who are encouraged by him. These are people who come around about him. They are the ragtag bunch of what nobody else wants. But God allows David and God together make him into David's mighty men. So God brings someone into his life. He's overwhelmed. He feels like he's alone. And God's saying, hey, you're not alone. He says, I'm your portion. And David realizes that. He says, you're my refuge, you're my portion. And even though everybody else doesn't understand, even though everybody else may have forsaken me, even though everybody else might feel like they don't even know me, and it seems like the enemies are getting ready to attack me and nobody has the answer, David says, I'm your portion. I'm the one, David's saying about God, I'm the one that can help you. I can take care of you. I'm the one you can hide in. And he says, I know you're going to deal bountifully with me. It's amazing. He goes from the prison cell to the praising. And that's where God wants us to go, as we realize, yes, sometimes things get hard and sometimes life doesn't turn out the right way. And sometimes people are cruel. Sometimes people are mean. Sometimes it seems like there's a pandemic going on. Sometimes it seems like our country is going straight towards more and more wickedness. And sometimes it seems like no one cares. No one understands that no one's doing anything. And we go to a spot where we're overwhelmed by the circumstances. But David gets from that overwhelmed. He says, Lord, I want you to take me out of this prison. He says, so I can praise your name again. And he goes and he remembers. He says that the righteous shall compass me about. And that does happen. His life isn't scot-free from here on out. He has to, he runs and he hides and he isn't king for years. And later on with Absalom, he has trouble. And later on, he has trouble when he goes and counts the people. He's not perfect. But at this moment in time, he is overwhelmed, not because of anything he's done. He is, and remember, God's the one that's promised him king. God's the one that says, hey, I'm going to make you king. David didn't go asking for that. David didn't ask to fight Goliath. David didn't ask for the lion there. And so that's when we get discouraged sometimes, is when we're sitting alone and saying, God, you've given me all these promises, but it doesn't feel like any of these things are coming about. It doesn't feel like any of these things are happening. God, what am I supposed to do? First thing is pour out to the Lord. I'm not just saying, hey, just read your complaints. Get alone with God and pour out your heart to him. Give it to him. Give it to somebody else. They're not going to know what to do with it. And that's the challenge we live in today, is that, you know, somebody comes to me with a need, and I'm thankful for people coming, and I love prayer requests, and I love praying for people. But sometimes it's like, I can't help you here. I can pray, which can help, but this is a personal decision. this is something you have to decide for yourself. I had some people call me and ask me, hey, I'm going to lose my job if I don't, they're forcing us to take a vaccine, and the vaccine, I'm going to lose my job if I don't take it, and what should I do? And I says, you need to pray. I said, that's a personal decision. I says, I don't think they should force you to take it. I think that that's your right, that's your freedom, but you're going to have to choose to make the stand for yourself or not. And I talked about what I personally would do. I said, but one thing I would do is I would get to the Lord, and I'd get before God. I would pour out my heart and tell him all those different things. Remember, he knows your thoughts afar off. He knows if you're coming to him fakely. He knows that if you're just praying about something just the way you can hold on to a burden. He knows if you really have poured out your heart to him, you've given him your all, and say, Lord, this is what the problem is. This is what the issue is. God, I'm putting myself in your hands, and I'm doing what you asked me to do. But when we pour ourselves out to God, that means we have to start listening to him. It means we got to stop saying, I don't really want to do that. Or I don't feel comfortable with this, or I don't feel comfortable with that. It's saying that I'm hoping, as that verse earlier says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. David here at the end, he's saying, I'm sitting in a cave, but someday I know you're going to deal bountifully with me. He knows, he believes, he trusts, his hope is found in God. And so often we say our hope's found in God or our hope's found in Jesus. We sing, my hope is Jesus, but we live our lives acting like the only hope I have is me. The only hope I have is if that person gets right or if that person changes or if this circumstance changes. But the reality is we can hope in what God can do. I think about some of the great stories in the Bible. We watched Esther from Sight and Sound this past Tuesday with some of the adults, and no one would have chose for this Jewish girl to be taken by some pagan king to make him his wife by forcing that. And throughout the story, it's like, why would God do this? Why would God do this? Why would God do this? But in the end, it was for such a time as this. And we look and we think about Daniel, how he was taken over to as a slave over to a foreign land, and was and the things that happened to him, and how, why would God do that? And we can't always answer those questions. But we can have hope that God is always doing what is right and that God can take any situation and make it turn to good. So if your soul is overwhelmed within you, pour out your heart before God. Realize that he is more than enough than what you need. He can help you through any situation, but you have to learn to trust in him. And then sit back and see what God can do. We saw it in David's life. How God answered his prayers, and how God did some amazing, wonderful things in his life, and how God was able to deal bountifully with him. And like I said, at that point in time is when people started joining up with David. And yes, life did not get easy, but David learned over and over that God was enough. I really enjoyed the story of Joseph. Nobody would have picked what Joseph went through. Thrown into a pit, he was by himself. Sold into slavery, by himself. In Potiphar's house, by himself. In prison, by himself. But the Bible says over and over, he's not by himself. He said, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. And he learned something, that at any of those spots, he could have become overwhelmed. And I'm assuming he's human, that he probably did cry out to God and say, God, what is it that you're doing here? God, I'm overwhelmed by this. This is something that's bothering me. This is something that my spirit, it feels like it's getting ready to bust, and there's no one that's able to help me. People try, but some people don't even act like they know me. We have to learn God is enough. He's more than enough to take care of these issues and problems. Learn to trust in him. So this morning it talks about my spirit is overwhelmed within me. And just a few minutes in the morning service, we're going to talk about how not to be overwhelmed. So this, pour your heart out to God. Accept the fact and realize that God is enough to handle whatever I'm going through. And he could fix it even today if he chose to. But I'm believing and I have hope in his mercy, and then sit back and see what God can do. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these people that are here. Lord, I love them. Lord, I want what's best for their lives. Lord, I know what it's like to be overwhelmed. I've been there more than once. And Lord, it is a time where I can take it and I can sulk about it. I can be worrying about it. I can be troubled about it. Or I can sit down and I can pour my heart out to you. and I can leave it with you, knowing that you're more than enough to handle it, that you're more than enough, that everyone else forsakes me, that you are God and that you love me and that you care about me and you can take care of me, just like you did for Joseph, just like you did for Abraham, the exceeding great reward, just like you did for Esther and for Ruth and for Daniel, and even David, those great characters of the Bible that hoped in you. They lived their lives hoping that you were able to do something because they believed you could. Lord, I pray that today's services be a challenge and an encouragement, and I pray for some help today for those that are feeling overwhelmed. I know it's easy to get overwhelmed, and Lord, I pray that we pour our hearts out to you, trusting in you and hoping in you. In Jesus' name, amen.